Good morning, my dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the glorious hope of Israel. So lovely to be with each and every one of you this morning. Sister Gwen and myself, very grateful to be here as we get around the word of truth. And I was instructed last Sunday to bring with me the love and greetings from the brethren and sisters of Edmonton. You know, when Brother John gave me this talk to do, I looked at it and I just sat there dumbfounded. I thought, wow, I'm not good at any of these. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness. But if, like me, you are lacking in any of these areas, I hope that together, as we go forward here, we can pull our socks up and move forward. Like our ecclesias sometimes have issues, and as individuals, we may also have issues dealing with each other. Likewise, the ecclesias in the Roman province of Galatia had their own issues. And that's why the Apostle Paul brought up to them the fruit of the Spirit. Imagine getting a letter from the Apostle Paul. Oh, foolish Americans, or oh, foolish Canadians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? We wouldn't want a letter like that. We know that the ecclesias in the first century were in a transitional period between the law and Christ. It was a difficult time. We know when we have troubles in our ecclesias, it's difficult to get on sometimes. You're trying to work out problems and it just raises extra problems. There's one thing that always, always gets in the way. And that's the flesh. We have to deal with the world which we live in, which we are supposed to not be a part of every day. But both the world and us have that terrible thing that we call sin in the flesh. And it really does get in the way when we're trying to deal with each other. We can probably understand the need for the apostle to write to these brethren and sisters in Galatia, dealing with such things and them trying to get along with each other, or them not getting along with each other, but all receiving the exhortation on the fruit of the Spirit. Before we look at the fruit of the Spirit and the three attributes that we will be looking at this morning in this session, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, I'd like to go back in the chapter that we read in Galatians chapter 5 and briefly look at why the Apostle Paul brought the fruit of the Spirit up to the Galatian ecclesias. The exhortation was to the brethren and sisters of Galatia, but also it's very much applicable to each and every one of us in our day. Again, we are continually warring against the flesh, the same as every brother and sister through the ages has had to do. So the apostle starts off in verse 13 by saying, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." This is the opposite of the natural man, who only wants to serve himself. Self-serving is the way of the world. Verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." If we obeyed this, if everyone obeyed this, there would be no need for an exhortation on the fruit of the Spirit. It would all be taken care of in that little sentence, love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It's the flesh that gets in the way every time. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then there's this big list of the works of the flesh which are manifest, and I'm sure Brother Jim is going to speak to us about that versus the fruits of the Spirit on Sunday, God willing. But then he lists in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can't do too many of these things. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Ecclesias to remind them to love one another. And he reiterated the words of the Master to love our neighbor as ourselves, not to bite and devour each other. This is quite the contrast. Not to bite and devour each other. That's something that wild animals do. This is surely not something that brethren and sisters should be doing in Galatia or in North America. He also found the need to remind them and ask that we have crucified the flesh with all of its lusts and its desires, along with the lack of morals of the world. That's why he is listing those horrible things earlier in the chapter. Things that are so abhorrent that no Christadelphian should be doing those things. And the apostle reminds us that those that do such things will be excluded from the kingdom of God. We are all from the world. We were and are exhorted to come up from among them and be ye separate. Do we put in effort to separate ourselves from the world? Remember, we're told that he that is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Have we crucified the things of the flesh? We, as Christadelphians, are not immune from the influence of the flesh. When those from the world want their way, they just move forward like a bull in a china shop. They don't care who gets in their way. They don't care who they put down or who they tread upon to get what they want. And will stoop to all manner of evils to get their way, stopping at nothing until they reach their goals. They don't care. There is no long suffering. There is no goodness. There is no gentleness. These are the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of the world. Just look at Putin and Russia. Look at North Korea, China, Iran. The axis of evil. Who will stop at nothing for their aims. And obviously, this is not how we should be. We have seen various splits in our fellowship over the years, We have seen the flesh revealed at various times in our dealings, one with the other, that ultimately leads to a type of divorce and a spiritual and physical separation that really should never be in the first place. We see whenever the Apostle Paul wrote to the different ecclesias, he would always comment on attitudes, how they needed to change. And every time, giving the greatest of examples, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And we know this, but it still seems to keep happening. Strife. Whenever something comes up in the ecclesia. But he exhorts to be in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. It's not the same as, not the same as ourselves, better than ourselves. So if we think a great deal of ourselves, we better think a great more deal about our brother or our sister. Remember when I was just a Sunday school student, I was probably about 12 years old, and the memorial meeting had just finished, and all of a sudden, there's this screaming and shouting going on in the back hallway. What's all that about? It was two brethren going at it, trying to rip each other's heads off, because they both wanted to be recording brother. The recording brother is supposed to be the servant of the ecclesia. Verse 4 of that chapter. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And here's the crux here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we do that, we can't go wrong. We all know that following the fruit of the Spirit isn't a natural thing. The mind of the flesh will fight against doing what's right every time. The fruit of the Spirit is not just going to emanate from us because it's not natural. We have to work at it. The message to the seven ecclesias was to overcome. Just one word, overcome, 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 or I will come quickly. There's the warning. The struggle is very real. The Apostle Paul was reminding the Galatian ecclesias of our separation from the world by listing the attributes in the list he calls the fruit of the Spirit. What a wonderful list that is, brethren and sisters. Love, joy, peace that our brother James spoke upon this morning. Thanks for that, brother James. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness that we will be considering this morning. And meekness, temperance, and faith, which our brother Steve Osborne will talk to us about this afternoon. We know that we are being instructed in our dealings one with the other. However, here the apostle was looking right at the ecclesia, how they and also we should conduct ourselves in relationships one with the other as brethren and sisters of Christ. And again, we can't say enough about this. Everything hinges on this command from our Lord and Savior to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we followed that, then most of these attributes under the heading fruit of the Spirit would all be taken care of. So the Apostle Paul is encouraging those in the Ecclesia, in Galatia, to get on with each other. Not be, as Brother James put it this morning, up in each other's faces. By applying a list of attributes to their lives and to use them in talking and dealing with each other. And really, we can see why these attributes are called fruit. Fruit is a very pleasant thing. Fruit in general is wonderful. You don't give a baby fruit as it starts to eat, or it won't eat its veggies. It was fruit that was desired in the very beginning that caused most of the problems that we have had ever since. It's the tree of life spoken of in the book of Revelation that has 12 manner of fruits and symbolically is also so very special. We truly will bring forth fruit if we follow the apostles' words by applying these attributes to ourselves. If we look up the word attribute in the dictionary, we see a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone. Wouldn't it be incredible, brethren and sisters, if these features, these fruits of the Spirit, were an inherent part of each and every one of us? There'd be no more strife, no more anger, no more up in each other's faces. Long-suffering, what is it exactly? When we look up the word long-suffering in the dictionary, we get forbearing, patient, tolerant, uncomplaining, slow to anger. However, if we take away the long out of the long-suffering, and we look up the Greek for suffering, in Strong's Concordance, we see the opposite of what the word long-suffering is trying to tell us. The suffering part of the long-suffering word is to breathe hard, to blow smoke, fierceness, indignation, wrath, to slaughter, kill, slay. These are the types of things we should be overcoming. I'm not saying we're all out here killing and slaying each other, but sometimes it looks that way. Even longer ago, when I was a Sunday school student, I was about 10 years old. And I heard this brother tell my dad a joke. But you know, quite often there's a little bit of truth in a joke. He said to my dad, "When is a Christadelphian not a Christadelphian?" The punchline answer was, "When he is driving." I thought at the time, wow, my dad's not a Christadelphian a whole lot of the time. The yelling, the screaming, the fist shaking. And then I grew up and I passed my driving test and really began to see and understand what that brother was trying to tell my father. How too often we forget who we are when we get behind the wheel of a car. So we put the word back together and connect long back with the word suffering. And we do not breathe hard. We do not blow smoke. We are not fierce. We do not have indignation and wrath. And we do not slaughter, kill, or slay. Couple that with forbearing, patient, tolerant, uncomplaining, slow to anger, and we really get the picture come together as how we should really be in our lives and how we should be communicating with each other in the household of faith. How long-suffering are you and I when we're driving? Well, I don't know about you, but I do know about statistics on the internet. In the United States in 2022, there were 413 people shot in road rage incidents, doubled from the previous year. That is, someone is either killed or wounded every 16 hours in a road rage incident. You know, I remember when I lived back in England in the 80s, there were these toys you could get, adult kind of toys. You would put them on the dash of your car, and there'd be like four buttons on there. And you could push these buttons and you get a blaster, a rocket launcher, nuclear. You get the picture, right? And I tried looking these things up on the internet. I couldn't find any of them. But I did find the patent for this thing. And it had an intent of use was to engage another driver in combat. Maybe we can remember a road rage incident or when we were not as stellar as we should have been. Not patient, not long-suffering or forbearing. I know I have to work harder on this myself. Someone wrongs us and immediately we feel the need to go into combat. Sometimes it's other drivers on the road. Sometimes it's our brethren and sisters. The Lord Jesus Christ addressed this. The words of the Master in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. How long suffering are we with each other, brethren and sisters? And we know from time to time we do have trouble within our ecclesias. Do we feel the need to engage our brother in combat? What about gouging out his eye? Sometimes we call it a personality clash. But that isn't true at all. That's just an excuse that we make. It's the flesh. Again, as we are going to make this word up here, short suffering instead of long suffering towards our brother. Our fuse is just too short sometimes. We truly do need to work harder. Actually, no. Trying gives us the option of failing and a way out. We either do something or we do not do something. There is nothing in between except excuses. Like Brother James said earlier, we can either be on the giving side or the receiving side when it comes to anger. If our brother is on the warpath and he already has you in his sights and he's going to let you have it, turn the other cheek. Use the art of long suffering to diffuse the situation and not to escalate it. Those brethren in the hallway when I was a kid, they escalated. If we do not, when it comes to any items of the fruit of the Spirit, then we all know where that road will lead. But if we do those things, we will reap the reward. We really have to be fruitful. You know, I was thinking about the spies going into the land, and they go into the, we sang it this morning, with joyful clusters load the vines. You know, they went into the land and they come out with these bunches of grapes, and you see like ornaments, you know, they're all over Israel. There was, you know, the two guys with the staff and this big bunch of grapes, and they're barely able to carry this out. That's how we are supposed to be. Clusters of fruit. These are the fruits of the Spirit, and these are things that we should desire to do. But like I said, the flesh wants to get in the way of that. Why else should we be long-suffering? Because Yahweh is long-suffering. And I'm sure we're all glad of that fact, or we would be in a lot of trouble. We continually rely on his long-suffering during our lives, and we will certainly need his long-suffering at the judgment seat, along with his grace and mercy. When Yahweh proclaimed his name to Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, he descended in a cloud and passed by Moses. And we read about that in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. We're told, "And Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, 'Yahweh, Yahweh, El, merciful and gracious, long-suffering.'" There it is. "And abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Wow, what a Father we have. Are we that forgiving? Are we that long-suffering? And this was the very first things as Yahweh introduced his memorial name to Moses. And he introduced also his beautiful character. And if Yahweh considers these aspects so important, then we also need to have these attributes as part of our characters. That means we have to have some self-restraint. And if we don't have that, we need to work on getting some of that. We shouldn't be trying to engage our brother in combat. Our short fuse should now be long. That smoke coming out of our nostrils needs to dissipate. Being changed into a calming breath as we pause and take a step back and consider what's going on and think of something kind to say to our brother. In his letter to the Ecclesia in Corinth, the Apostle Paul was teaching them about love, the subject that our brother James spoke to us about this morning. Love is the one thing connected to all the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why it's listed first. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. "Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." So if we have to get right on to our brother with the blaster or the rocket launcher, then where is the love? "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness of and meekness, and here it is again, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. And I believe we can sum up this word long suffering with just two simple words: love and patience. You know, I've learned over the years that you can make Christadelphians really quite angry. All you have to do is get up here and give a talk. And you know, I've had it at both extremes. I've in the same talk, I had five people walk out. I had a couple crying for joy. And after, I had people crying in anger and screaming and shouting at me. I was given a talk to do on from the Psalms, both young and old, singing with all instruments of music. I thought, oh, that's great. I'll talk about that. And maybe we'll do a hymn with a couple of instruments of music. And I did that. And a brother put the microphone too close to one of the instruments, and it kind of was really loud. And a lot of people were offended. They didn't like the loud music. I didn't want the loud music. And after that talk, I'd never seen so many angry Christadelphians, and they really let me have it. And I was feeling down, and this brother came up to me. In fact, he's here today. He's over there, Brother Jim Phillips. And he said, "Brother Armstrong, you want to know what was wrong with that talk?" And I'm like, I said, "You know, let me have it. Just give it to me right now." You know, I was so down. And he said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what was wrong." He said, "If you're going to play in Texas, you've got to have a fiddle in the band." At which point, all my stress just went. I was just, I didn't know what I was going to do. And out of love, Brother Jim Phillips comes up. And thank you, Brother Jim. To this day, I still thank you. So in his letter to the ecclesia in Corinth, the Apostle Paul taught them about love, and he ends, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another. And we really have to try at this. I really hope I haven't made anyone angry with this first word. Gentleness is the next fruit of the Spirit on our list. The original word meaning mild, gentle, moderation, patient, clemency. Clemency implies a mild, merciful disposition in one having the power or duty of punishing. And we know at the judgment seat, we're going to be looking for some of that. So let us apply this to our characters when communicating to our brother and sister. The scriptures are packed full of quotations on the fruit of the Spirit. Philippians chapter 5, verse 4 in the New International Version. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Titus 3 and 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Just think of the, and we talk about this all the time, the example of our Lord and Savior, He took on the form of a servant. We were just reading that last night in the readings of him washing the disciples' feet. And he took on this form of a servant with a humble and a contrite spirit. And we know with our words, we can be grievous or gentle. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And then there is one quotation that I have been quoted more times than I can possibly remember. Gwen Armstrong, chapter 1, verse 1. Remember, you catch more flies with honey. And I continually have to remember this from my wife, these words of wisdom that we all need to apply. Our third fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Again, we see love and patience in goodness. We all remember Matthew 19 and 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Christ was remembering right back to the beginning to another fruit tree, a tree that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, knowing that even as he himself had not succumbed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but understood very clearly that he did receive the condemned nature of man within his members, and could not be called good. And there is that knowledge of good and evil in everyone. And there is a ratio within each of us. We're probably all different. A different ratio of things we think of that are good and things we think of which are evil. Brother Matt Walsh was up in Edmonton just this past Sunday exhorting us. And he had a pie chart of his personal life, of what time he devoted to various aspects of his life. And we could apply that at our time, that we dwell on good or evil. The time we put into things of the spirit and the time we put into things of the flesh. And whether or not we try and think how our own pie chart looks, one day at the judgment seat, we will see it. We need to put the effort into things of the Spirit. We're told in the scriptures about the goodness and severity of God. With the flesh, we can easily access the severity of God. And most of the world will reap that reward in the end. But also, the goodness is available to those who love him. Yahweh declared his name to Moses and not only told him of his attributes of long-suffering and being merciful, but also of his abundant goodness. We quite overlook these things of his character when we look at this time when he revealed his memorial name. But what a wonderful character he does indeed have. David declared in the Psalms, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of Yahweh. We know that we are to do good unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. The Apostle Paul also wrote to the Ephesians about the fruit of the Spirit and summed it up in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Indeed, if we are fruitful, performing righteous acts, having goodness, and living the truth, then we are showing to our Father and to each other the fruit of the Spirit. We would be mirroring some of the characters of the Father. The Greek word in Galatians chapter 5 for goodness means virtue or beneficence. Virtue, showing high moral standards. Beneficence, the act of doing good, kindness. So it's more than just being kind to others. There has to be the aspect of high moral standards. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. That is great if we can actually get down and do this. We may quite often be filled with good intentions, but fail to follow through. Most of the time, it's because of the flesh. I know this chapter in Romans is quoted so very often, and we know these words, the Apostle Paul to the Romans, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Christ requires of us selfless love. As Christ became a servant, so we should also be servants to our brethren and sisters. And again, we should consider our brethren and sisters greater than ourselves. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, definitely good aspects to have. But when we do not have these in our characters, we can do a lot of harm. We cannot be very long-suffering, not very gentle, and have very little goodness when it comes to our tongue. As Brother James said again, we can get up in someone's face and we can give someone a right lashing. And his namesake, James in the scriptures, tells us a lot about the evils that the tongue can commit. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Let us think about that for a moment. And next time we speak to our brother or our sister, let us do it with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. I'd like to close this morning with a couple of thoughts and an action taken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. If we bear no fruit, the same will happen to us at the judgment seat. We will be cursed and we shall wither away. It may not be the time for figs all of the year long, but we do have time to bear the fruit of the Spirit daily, but we have to choose to do so. We don't have to work at this alone. We have each other, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. But this morning, we're going to leave the last few words to the Apostle Paul from our chapter in Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.